This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And it is Friday. Glad that you are with us today. It's Friday, thankfully. Free for all Friday. Of course, that means you can call, share your thoughts at 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. This hour brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to businesses across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. All right, well, another busy week, to say the least, in D.C. This frenetic pace, how long can Donald Trump keep it up, and how long can we stay with it? I mean, seriously, it's a lot to keep up with, and it's a lot to report on every day. It's good for business, I'll tell you that. Let's start with this, though, because I find this to be extremely important. It's something that we talk about from time to time here on the program, and it's a much bigger problem than most people realize, and that is the issue of human trafficking. Children are worth more than gold, sadly, on the black market out there. Worth more than pretty much anything in the dark web and in the black market, and it's horrible, frankly. And Donald Trump, the president, trying to do something about it, spent time talking about it and bringing the full force and weight of the U.S. government to bear on human trafficking. He talked about it yesterday at the White House, said that it is an epidemic. It's clip 7, and I want you to hear it as the president talking about human trafficking.
I want to make it clear today that my administration will focus on ending the absolutely horrific practice of human trafficking. And I am prepared to bring the full force and weight of our government to the federal and at the federal level and the other highest levels, whatever we can do in order to solve this horrific problem, getting worse, and it's happening in the United States in addition to the rest of the world, but it's happening in the United States, which is terrible. Human trafficking is a dire problem, both domestically and internationally. And it's one that's made a challenge, and it's really made possible to a large extent more of a modern phenomenon by what's taking place on the internet, as you probably know. Solving the human trafficking epidemic, which is what it is a priority for my administration. I'm going to help out a lot. Solve is a wonderful word, a beautiful word, but I can tell you we're going to help a lot. I'll direct the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and other federal agencies that have a role in preventing human trafficking to take a hard look at the resources and personnel that they're currently devoting to this fight. Now, they are devoting a lot, but we're going to be devoting more. Dedicated men and women across the federal government have focused on this for some time. As you know, a lot of you have been dealing with the federal government. And it's been much more focused over the last 4 weeks, I can tell you that. I cannot thank each of you enough and the dedicated men and women who run my staff and your staffs, and getting everybody together was terrific. I was so glad I was able to be here. You start with really a tremendous amount of energy and blood, sweat, and tears. Government can be helpful, but without you, nothing would happen. So, again, I want to thank everybody in this room. It's a very, very terrible problem. It's not talked about enough. People don't know enough about it. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to bring it out into the open, and hopefully we're going to do a great deal to help prevent some of the horrific, really horrific crimes that are taking place.
I appreciate that, and I know it was a long clip, but it's good to hear the president focusing on something that is so extremely important. Let's go to the hotline. Steve standing by in Lansing today. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Ben Franklin once said at the Constitutional Convention, was it 1778?
1787.
Okay. But he said, you have a republic if you can hang on to it?
That's correct. We have given you a republic if you can keep it.
If you can keep it, yes. Just, you know, I'd point that out.
Yeah, we've kept it this long. What do you think it's going to take to keep it a little bit longer? What do you think?
I think we narrowly missed an internal conflict at this last election. When you look at what state government, this state's government, was trying to push through for the control of cartridge ammunition.
Well, yeah, state of Maryland. And, well, the state of Maryland now, because of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, basically, state of Maryland can outlaw pretty much anything today. Handguns, semi-automatic rifles, anything they want. I appreciate the phone call because of this new decision. It means that, well, it means the Second Amendment is in peril again, this time from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, completely ignoring Supreme Court rulings previously, ignoring the Heller ruling, ignoring precedent, ignoring their job, frankly, and creating a new test, something that has never been heard of. Apparently there's this test now. That if a weapon falls into a certain category because of a test, then it can be outlawed. Heretofore never heard of in constitutional law. In fact, Ted Cruz is outraged over it. Ted Cruz, the senator at CPAC at CPAC. Here's what he had to say about the Fourth Circuit and their decision and your Second Amendment rights. It's clip 15. Go.
The Fourth Circuit now, they invented this new test for the Second Amendment, and here's what their test said. The Second Amendment doesn't protect a weapon if it would be useful in a military context. This test isn't just sort of questionable. It isn't just a little bit out there. It is nuts. The Second Amendment was designed explicitly to protect weapons that would be useful in a military context. So under the Fourth Circuit's test, the only things that are protected are things that are not useful in a military context. So apparently the Second Amendment protects feather dusters. You have a right to have a feather duster. If anyone breaks in, you can make sure they're really clean as they're robbing your house.
But if a feather duster could be turned into a weapon, then, well, that would be different, you see. It is foolishness, abject foolishness. But what it underlines and should emphasize for you is the fact that the insidious movements against the Constitution, and it's not just the Second Amendment that is constantly under attack. It is the First Amendment. Because when you implement things that can, you know, reduce the amount of things that people can talk about, hate speech is a nice umbrella to bring in rules against the First Amendment. Well, you can't say this and you can't offend people and you have to have safe spaces. That's just eating away at the First Amendment. Make no mistake what that is. That is an attack on your constitutional rights. It is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Make no mistake. It is a Trojan horse. 14 after the hour on a Friday. Glad to have you with me. It's the Steve Gruber Show and I'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
It is 18 after on this Friday. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966, still to come today. Megan Barth will be here to break down the week. A busy week it has been, the president having had CEOs from many big corporations into the White House yesterday to talk more about tax policy and how to make sure that the American economy begins working for more people and sooner. So we'll do that sooner as opposed to later. That should go much better. and get to that. All right, Sean Spicer dealing with all sorts of questions yesterday, and Ryan Priebus and Steve Bannon at CPAC. In fact, let's go with that first. It was kind of interesting because there's this whole dialogue that Ryan Priebus and Steve Bannon, of course, Steve Bannon, formerly of Breitbart, and Ryan Priebus, the former chair of the RNC, now respectively the chief of staff is Priebus, and Stephen Bannon is a key, advisor to the president. And there's all this conversation about how they dislike each other. But at CPAC, they certainly didn't show any of that. They seem to be two people that share an office that seem to be okay. Maybe it was just an act, but if it was, it was a pretty good one. It's clip 9, Ryan Priebus and Stephen Bannon. Clip 9, go.
I think the biggest misconception is everything that you're reading. We share an office suite together. We're basically together from 6:30 in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night.
I have a little thing called the war room. He has a fireplace with nice sofas. Reince is indefatigable. I mean, it's low key, but it's determination. The thing I respect most, and the only way this thing works, is Reince is always kind of steady. He's got Katie and some other people around him. It's very steady.
I think that he is very dogged in making sure that every day, the promises that President Trump has made are the promises that we're working on every day, number one. Number two, he's incredibly loyal. Immigration, protecting the sovereignty of the United States, putting a wall on the southern border, making sure that criminals are not part of our process. These are all things that 80% of Americans agree with, and these are all things that President Trump is doing within 30 days.
And as you can see there, we leave it right there. As you can see there, these two seem to get along pretty well, much better than I thought. Let's go to Gary. He's standing by in Grand Rapids on the hotline. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I appreciate your program every day. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
My question is, we talk about Gorsuch, but when are we going to go to work on confirming him?
You know, he's that process will start, I think, in probably about 30 days or less. There's a process to this whole thing, Gary, as there usually is in Washington. And do they run things in Washington the way you and I would? No, they don't, which is why Donald Trump is there to shake things up a little bit. But I believe, you know, right now he's making his rounds. He's shaking hands with senators that are going to be critical to his confirmation to the Supreme Court. Getting to know people, the same reason we had his former law clerk on the program here just a little bit ago, so that people can know him, Gary.
Well, I wish they would have to abide by the rules that you and I live by, Steve. That's about all I have to say.
Well, Gary, I appreciate it. I wish they did too, my friend. Thank you for checking in. Greatly appreciate it. I think that if we could get Washington to abide by the rules that the rest of us do, it'd be a much different world now, wouldn't it? Be a much different world, no question about that. All right, so Ryan Priebus and Steve Bannon, back to much better in public than you would ever expect. I mean, you wouldn't think that was a relationship that was very good if you listen to the media, which is why you have to be careful. You have to be careful about where you trust for your media sources, and I truly believe that. Of course, now another big battle cry is that Donald Trump's administration has gone back to protect Title IX and rolled back some of the Obama administration's rules when it comes to transgender bathrooms and those issues, and everything go back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and that whole mess back out in the open again, because the administration says this is a states' rights issue. This is something that the states should be paying attention to. Sean Spicer addressed that yesterday during the press briefing. I'd like to have that so you can hear exactly what's coming from the administration. Clip 13 on transgender bathrooms. Go.
The president was asked at one point, Caitlyn Jenner was in Trump Tower, and he said, that's great. That's consistent with everything he said. It's a states' rights issue. And that's entirely what he believes, that if a state wants to pass a law or a rule, or an organization wants to do something in compliance with the state rule, that's their right. But it shouldn't be the federal government getting in the way of this. I mean, if you look at this, the law that was passed in 1972 did not contemplate or consider this issue. Number two, the procedure for this guidance letter that was done through the Obama administration was not properly followed. There was no comment period. There was no input from parents, teachers, students, or administrators. I mean, there's a reason in August of last year that the court enjoined this. because it hadn't followed the law and it hadn't the procedure, the comment period and the solicitation of opinions and ideas wasn't followed. It was jammed down the process. And so we're actually following the law on this one. I think that we do have to recognize that children do enjoy rights from, you know, anti-bullying statutes that are in almost every state. And that there's a difference between being compassionate for individuals and children who are struggling with something and wanting to make sure they're protected and how it's being done.
So students are being protected. He's right about the anti-bullying statutes and other concerns. Of course, the left will take that as something different, that, you know, they're attacking those in the LGBTQ community and that sort of thing. And so, but, you know, that's why I put these comments out there, so you can decide for yourselves. Less filter, more truth, more common sense. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of news, then we'll come back with Megan Barth to finish up our Friday. I'm sure she's into about her fourth cup of coffee already, so that should be good. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Your comments still welcome at 888-900-9966.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say that love is blind.
All right, 33 after. John in Portage checking in on the hotline this Free for All Friday. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Steve, I'm in a Twitter here. I'm really concerned because Trump has been in office 30 months, and he's done nothing, according to the paper. And, you know, this never has happened before.
30 days, you mean?
It's only 30 days.
Nicely played, John.
how could I make that mistake? But all this thing I hear from the standard media is, you know, it's like he's there for a lifetime. Was Rome built in a day?
No, but they burned it down pretty quickly, didn't they?
No, they absolutely did. Well, if you read Klein's assessment of the situation, he reports on all of the...
Which Klein? Ezra Klein? Which one?
Klein is the author that wrote on Hillary. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Go ahead.
But he reported all the incidents, examples such as the tax problem. The guy for the Treasury of Obama had the problems that Clinton's people had, the problems that Bush people had, the problems that everybody had in the middle of their administrations. Trump is moving along at a better pace. The problem is that he so occupies everything that he sucks out all the air, and the news media is having a problem staying up with him. He's way ahead of the game. He's way ahead of everybody.
Yeah, you're referring to Ed Klein, of course. Unlikable, the problem with Hillary and so many other books that he wrote, right? That Klein.
You're correct. There is a new release out there, and I'm about to pen something on it. But the problem is he reports that all the problems all these other people, including Reagan, had, it's starting.
Well, there you go.
But John,
I appreciate you checking in. I do. I appreciate that because we need different voices. That's why we have Free for All Friday always. A voice we like to hear on Fridays comes to us from Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, and that's Megan Barth, founder and proprietor of ReaganBaby.com. Megan, good Friday to you.
Well, good Friday. I'm in D.C., actually, at CPAC.
Well, that's even better now, isn't it? A lot of goings on there. Let's start with this.
A lot of controversy.
Let's start with that. What's the controversy?
My website was seized yesterday, which right after I broke a story on ITIN. And ITIN is the individual tax identification number that's assigned to illegal immigrants. And it's the biggest fraud, tax fraud, ever perpetrated on the American taxpayer. The website was seized. After our call, I'm going to have a call with an attorney out of New York. So I still have my social media accounts, ReaganBaby.com is seized. You can't get there.
What do you mean? It's seized by whom?
Pardon?
Seized by whom?
I'm not going to go into that specific yet, just because I have to talk to an attorney. But it was transferred out of my account into someone else's account, and we're going to have a problem.
And because you were talking about ITIN, ID numbers for tax identification purposes that are given to whom again?
Illegal immigrants.
Why would illegal immigrants need a tax ID number?
Because it was established in 1996 in order to have them pay taxes as undocumented workers. So what they do instead of, you know, for the workers that don't have a Social Security number, but they didn't fraudulently get through naturalized citizenship, they are assigned by the federal government, the IRS, an ITIN, an individual tax identification number. It looks exactly like a Social Security number, except it starts with the number 9.
Can you do me a favor? This happened after you wrote an article and posted it on your site. Is that what you're telling me?
That and after I went on radio, yeah.
All right, so we're gonna get the beat down from Big Brother today too. I can take it. I can take it. So, can you send me the article?
I can send you the article. I can send you the brief by which I was given.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get into the back end of my site to give you the actual article, but I can send you the investigative brief. And let me tell you, I had a fraud investigator look into this. And let me tell you, okay, just to put it in perspective for your listeners and you. In 9 years and up to the year 2010, okay, the IRS paid over $14.2 billion in refunds to these illegal undocumented workers. These refunds were given for alleged dependents from whom no identification or residency documents were obtained. Now, when each undocumented immigrant is given this ITIN number, they can claim up to 20 dependents. The dependents don't have to be their children. The dependents can be their uncle, their aunt, their cousin, their second cousin twice removed, whoever they put down as a dependent. If the dependents are from either Mexico or Canada, no documentation needs to be given to the IRS to prove that dependent's relation or residency in the U.S.
So why didn't you and I think of that? All right, so let me get this straight. More than $14 billion, and that's what you found thus far. The problem could
that's
be much larger.
2010.
Right, the problem could be much larger, potentially. You wrote about this, posted it on your website, and talked about it on the radio, and then suddenly your website is seized by somebody you can't get into yet until you have legal counsel, which I can appreciate. But if you can send me the article, if you have the article on your computer or somewhere else, I'm happy to publish the article on my website. You see, because I'm good that way.
Okay, yep, I will send it over to you right away. And let me just give you also a taste of the fraud that the IG, the Inspector General, found that Congress knows about. And I'm giving, you know, when you post the article, any of your listeners can copy that article and send it to their congressional representative and say, why haven't you done anything about this, the biggest tax fraud that occurred right under our noses and yours? And then like I said, every member of Congress, if they don't know about it, they should know about it because this is an IG report.
And it's been going on since 1996. Now, who would have been president then?
Clinton?
That'd be Bill Clinton. Yeah, that'd be Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been president when this was put into place, but overlooked by George W. Bush, overlooked by Barack Obama, and overlooked
by... Barack Obama put it on steroids because through executive order, which I also outline in my article, he reduced the amount from $12,500 to $3,000 as far as the deduction threshold. And what that did is it created more refunds and more people that had ITIN, and then through executive order.
Wait a second,
hold on.
He can't do that through executive. That should be a lever of Congress, not executive order.
Right, but when did he ever use Congress to pass laws? Yeah, no. So then through executive action, he also allowed ITIN holders to retroactively claim 3 years of ITIN deductions if they finally got a Social Security number by whatever means they would get it, through naturalization, citizenship, or identity fraud.
All right, hold that thought right there. Megan Barth, The person without a country. Well, not exactly, but a person without a website for a moment. We'll get back to you. Hold right there. It's Free for All Friday.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Never before have I turned on you. You look too good to me. Your beady eyes, they could cut me in two, and I just can't let you be. But it's a free-for-all, and a heart is dead. You can bet your life. Stakes are high, and so am I. It's in the air tonight.
All right, 45 after on this Free-for-All Friday. Meghan Barth having a free-for-all at CPAC in D.C. Excuse me, in Maryland. Close enough. But it's a CPAC get-together. By the way, Meghan, I can assure you that at this very moment, at 8:45 and 34 seconds, you have no website. It says the Safari cannot find the server. You do not exist. You are persona non grata. Yeah, you don't exist. So if you missed the first part of Meghan's interview here, her website seized. She can't get into by whom exactly quite yet. After she wrote an article about illegal aliens getting refunds from the federal government in tax refunds in the billions and billions and billions of dollars over the last few years. So how long is this ordeal going to go on?
Hopefully not too long. I mean,
I'm already guilty. My stuff's published on your website anyway, so I'm already blackballed, Meghan. You know, and if you're at this age and you're not on some list, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. So, you know,
I'm obviously doing something right?
Exactly. You're getting somebody's attention. Now, I guess you're going to speak to an attorney immediately.
Let me put this fraud in perspective for you, okay?
All right, go ahead.
One year in Atlanta, Georgia, in excess of $46 million in refunds were sent to a single address by the IRS for 24,000 illegal aliens.
How much money?
Listed
$46 million. $46 million, 24,000 people.
24,000 illegal aliens registered at the same address. In Detroit, 604 I-10 numbers and 640 tax refunds were issued by the IRS to a single address that had previously been rejected based on questions of its legitimacy. Regardless, the IRS ultimately issued over $1.5 million in tax refunds to that address. In Indianapolis, the IRS issued 8,714 ITINs to undocumented workers, all who claimed to have the same address. One illegal alien admitted that he lived in a single-wide mobile home with his small daughter. However, his address was used by four of his illegal buddies. That year, over 29,000 in refunds were sent to that mobile home by the IRS. And it just
must
keeps
be
going
a,
on.
It must be a double wide.
Right.
Come on.
So I sent this article, which is kind of the draft. It's not the final, but it has all the information in it. It's all I can get to. The final is in the back end, like I said. But I sent that to Ivy.
All right. So we'll be getting that up. And we'll do what we can with it, but people can go look at it themselves. They can come after me too. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, you're listing facts and figures. I know the work that you do, I'm comfortable with it. I'm just curious. I'm dying to hear the back end story of what's going on.
I'll give it to you as soon as I get the green light.
But I know.
That this was pretty much illegal.
Listen, I can raise bail money. I've got friends. We can do a GoFundMe account for you. I'm here for you, Meghan. If he's going to put his boot on your throat, I'm here to help.
Thank you.
Good God. All right. So what are you trying to be, the new Milo? I mean,
Maybe I'll become gay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it quite that way, but I meant, you know, you're going to get yourself kicked out of CPAC, you know, you're going to be this rabble rouser, troublemaker, you know. What is up with Milo, by the way?
Yeah, the rabble-rousing and troublemaking started a long time ago.
Yeah, all right, so Milo did get booted, though, right? He was told not to show up, which is weird. Why? Because he told the truth about some things that happened long ago? Is that what I'm to understand?
Well, pretty much, and, you know, think of it this way. CPAC knew what they were getting into. They knew he was controversial, and I always thought that, why are they having a libertarian as the keynote speaker at a conservative political action conference? That in itself, I thought, was a little odd. Normally, they don't give the stage to a libertarian, or at least the main stage to a libertarian, right? They're usually on the side stage. So I just thought that it was kind of odd. And then What was additionally odd is when you see the much money that was raised to Oppo research on him, it was $250,000. And that money was raised by the Reagan Battalion, which is a bunch of different, what I would call moderate Republicans, that banded together, like Evan McMullen, et cetera, and basically did a hit job on him.
He also lost a book deal. But my guess is on losing that book deal, the people that whatever company has has the courage to step up and do the book will be rewarded financially because the book will do well. Because when books are banned, how do they do? Generally a lot better.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, he's going to do fine. I think he's going to do fine. He did fine without the book, but he still has made a name for himself as a stalwart and outspoken critic of political correctness as well as radical Islam.
All right, so what else is on the president coming there about 10 o'clock today, correct? He'll be speaking
correct.
At CPAC. So what do you expect to hear? You know, last year he didn't come. He just skipped it altogether
right.
because, you know, he was, you know, a lot of name-calling and nonsense and different things going on from hardcore conservatives like Mitch McConnell or John Boehner or something. I'm laughing, of course.
And instead they had Glenn Beck be the keynote, there was this whole fissure, which you still see in CPAC, it's the never Trumpers that are aligned with the establishment compared to the Trump supporters.
Yeah, the never Trumpers that align themselves with Lindsey Graham and John McCain. Brilliant, I say.
Right.
Brilliant, because that makes a lot of sense. Go with those two guys that are getting absolutely nothing done ever.
Right.
I find it outrageous, Megan. I absolutely do. All right. So I tell people to go to your website. That's not possible. what are your social media sites? Let's try those on for size.
Reagan_baby is my Twitter feed. And then my Facebook page is Reagan Baby. So I have a pretty good following on my Facebook page, and that's where I'll do most of the updates is on my Facebook page.
We can get that shut down by the end of the day if we work really hard.
Yes, exactly.
We can make you completely invisible. Yes, anyhow. Megan Barth, keep up the good fight. And when you don't wait till Friday, if you have something to update that's of value, you reach out to us and we'll get you back on.
I sure will.
Thank you.
Thanks
Megan Barth, keep your head down.
Yep.
There you go. It's Free for All Friday. A little rowdy at CPAC, apparently, and especially don't write things that people don't want to see. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Five after the hour on this Friday. Charlie is checking in from Grand Rapids. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Hey, I wanted to check on something. The Spirit of America rallies. I'm not hearing much about it at all. It's scheduled for next Saturday, May 4th, or March 4th, and going to be in 60 cities across the U.S. and at the Lansing at the Capitol building east side from noon to 3. And, gee, the news is not touching. It's going to be all these deplorables out there.
Well, I haven't heard much about it myself, Charlie, so that's a bit of a problem. What people need to do is go to my website, drop me a note so we can talk about such things, stevegruber.com. If you go there, send me the information. I can share it with listeners, at least in this part of the country. So you should do that, Charlie, and help me to keep people informed, because I've heard a little about it. You know, when and you're right about this, when the other side, if you will, holds rallies, the news media spends, you know, hours talking about it and therefore promoting it, right? And so, therefore, you get all of these people to turn out. We don't get the same treatment, so you have to make a little extra effort to hook up with folks like me, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'll go on your site and patch into the state coordinator. She's out of somewhere down by Detroit.
Attaboy. There you go. That's what I needed, Charlie. You have a great weekend now.
One other thing, too.
All right. Go ahead.
George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it's either Hungary or Russia has got an open warrant for him. And I think that since Trump and Putin are such good friends that he ought to just go ahead and extradite him.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, Charlie, I got to run. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. It's been a pretty good week, I'd say, around here. We've got a lot of work done, made a lot of contacts. and had some firsts, you know, being part of the White House press corps for the first time on Skype. Very exciting. I think we're finally going to get a couple of those stations on for you here, maybe as soon as next week. We'll talk about that starting next week. But go enjoy the weekend. Get outside. Enjoy it. You're an American. I mean, you're an American. Embrace that, would you please? And for the rest of the weekend, keep the faith. We'll talk soon. I'm Steve Gruber, and this is The Steve Gruber Show.